that anointing that causes us to increase. And Lord, we just ask for increase right now in our spiritual man so that we might fulfill your spiritual plan. In these days and in these times, Lord, we lean heavily on the Holy Ghost to guide and direct us and give us unctions, what to say, what to do, where to be. So, Father, I thank you. We had an unction from you this morning to get up and come in. So, therefore, you've got something for us, and we will receive everything you've got in Jesus' name. And everybody that agreed said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. We got a... what, four more services? About four more services. So we're going to get our fill today, go home, rest, and come back this evening.
Amen.
Amen. If you'd like to go ahead and turn to Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 17 through 24. We've been talking about peace and joy, and I think that's just what we should just carry on with. Amen. I don't remember what scripture it is, but Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. So how come there are so many people in the world living in tragedy and just so unsettled, no peace in their life? They're not leaning on what Jesus left for them. And he went on to say, not as the world gives peace. How would the world give peace? It's a fake peace. It's a peace as long as thing is going good, right? It's a fake peace. When I'm happy, when mama's happy, when daddy's happy, when everything's going good in our life, we're peaceful. But the minute something changes, we lose our peace. That's the world kind of peace. Jesus kind of peace, we have it all the time. Even when the problems come, even when the trouble's there, we still have a peace because we know how it's going to turn out. Amen? It's going to become good. Okay. Okay. I probably won't do much walking, though. All right. So the peace that Jesus gives is the peace that we want, right?
Amen.
It sticks with us all the time. We have it all the time. We live in it all the time. And that's the way we live our lives, peaceful.
Yes.
So we're going to start reading in verse 17. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter here, Ephesians. Ephesians 4:17 says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Gentiles, that was just referring to them as not born again, not saved people.
Right.
Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. That's what a Gentile is. They're alienated. That means they don't have the life of God in them. From the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. I think we've had a couple of verses about being blind, having the word, but not living in it and walking in it.
Yeah.
Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. So once we get born again, we're not supposed to talk the same way, are we? Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And you don't hear a whole lot about holiness nowadays, do you? That's something we need to get back to. Amen. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another, And be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. 25, 26, and 27 are some pretty strong words, aren't they? It said that word, don't be ignorant, means unknowing. Don't be unknowing what the will of the Lord is. Because when you're unknowing, you're actually giving place to the devil. If you don't know what God wants for you, then you'll just yield to anything, right? So if we know what his will is, then we won't be deceived. We won't be in a place of disbelief or unfaithfulness, because we know what the will of God is, and that's what we're going to stand fast and hold fast to. Amen? It says we must no longer live like Gentiles. So once we're born again, there is something expected of us. We can't act the same way we used to. Remember when Reverend Ricky was talking about, you know, he had been, you know, we'd been going to church for quite a while, and he worked at that station, and he dipped the whole time, never bothered him. And then one day, when the pastor came, he just all of a sudden started, it became sin to him. Because why? He had been sitting under the word. He had been living as a Gentile before that, but now that he's getting the word, he's having to come up to a new level. He's having to come up to a new place. And he evidently had heard some teaching about right and wrong. And now his soul man is saying, hey, I can't live like that anymore. That was the old man. That's who I was, but that's not who I am anymore. So he ripped that dip out of his mouth, because to him that day forward it was sin. And he couldn't do it anymore. And this is just a little add-on here. You know, over the years we have prayed with lots of people about quitting smoking or quitting dipping and things like that. And every one of them at some point would, you know, some of them would say it was easy, some of them would say it wasn't. What I have noticed is when you have an unction to stop, the power of God is there to help you. And it's easy. But then when you turn around and go back, after that it gets harder and harder and harder to stop. Because then you're not working in God's power, then you're working in your own power. And anything we do in our own power is not easy, is it?
No.
So if you still smoke and you don't feel condemned about it, don't worry about it. But the day you do, know that the power of God is there to help you stop, and you will be endowed with that power to quit. But if you pick it up again after that, it will. I know some people we prayed for several years, they'd quit 6, 7, 8 months, and then go back. And then every time they would say, oh, it's so hard, I can't do this. You know, well, you're having to do it on your own power now, so it is going to be harder. So you're just going to have to grit your teeth and push your way through it. But before, when God helped you, the power was there to do it. Amen? So that's just a little nugget there that'll help you. You must no longer live like Gentiles. Now, at this point, we have to start living like Christ. Amen?
Amen?
We're free, but we're not free to live any way we want to, right? We're free to live like Christ. We're free to follow his plan and his will for our life. Once we figure out how much easier it is for us to follow his will, the biggest lie that the devil ever told me was, you can't be a pastor's wife. You can't think about God all the time. Now that was my, when Ricky, you know, I really never ever felt like God called me to preach. I never had that feeling. And he said that when we got married. And I'm like, no, not when we got married, but after we started going to church and he rededicated his life, he said he felt like he was called to preach, and I was like, didn't know I was signing up for this, but okay. I was taught right. I was taught my husband is the leader of the household and to follow him. So that's probably one thing that helped us along the way. But when he started preaching and everything, you know, people started expecting things of me. And I'm like, I just support my husband. I'm okay with that. I'll just sit right back here and be the nicest little preacher's wife you ever seen. Of course, the further it went, the more was required of me. But, you know, nothing changed in my thinking or in my life until I started looking for more and doing more. I always felt like I couldn't do this, I can't do this. And until I started doing something, it was terrible too. I remember the first time you were still at Raymond. We went to that little church in Ratliff City. And of course I'm just being nice little helper. And when we get there, on the way there, Ricky said, okay, I'm going to ask you to get up and say something. I said, mm-mm. I said, don't do that because I'm going to embarrass you. I'm going to tell you no in front of all them people, so do not call on me to get up and say. I'm telling you right now, don't call on me. So he's like, okay, God. So we get there, and we're sitting there, and the preacher, you know, praise and worship was going on. The preacher's getting done, getting ready to introduce him, and he said, and we've got a guest speaker here today, but before we hear from him, let's hear something from his wife. Now, I can be mean and hateful and rude to my husband, but I can't to this preacher. So I get up and I'm thinking all these mean, ugly things. Ricky told him. And so I go up there and my voice is literally quivering like this. And I have no idea what I said. No idea what all I remember is finally getting back to my seat and going, I didn't die. And little Ricky was probably about, how old was you when we were at Rhema? You was in first grade maybe? About first grade, and he is sitting beside me, and he said, Mama, what was the matter with your voice? Because he could hear it quivering and shaking. But it's not that bad. Y'all can't tell it's quivering and shaking right now. It's not that bad now, but at that point it was. But that was the point I realized that, you know, I just don't have to deal with my husband from now on. It's going to be through Jesus and other people that I'm going to have to deal with things. So I'm going to have to become responsible for what I'm getting. You know, I wish I could just ride on his coattails and just be the nice little pastor's wife. But that's not the way it works. We all have to become responsible. When we become a new creation, we all have to take our place at what he's called us to. Even if it's just to minister to your neighbor. Even if it's just to minister to the people on your job. I know everybody cannot have a pulpit ministry. Everybody cannot. But you can have something to tell somebody that will cause them to see Jesus differently. And that's the man that he expects us to become when we get born again. Okay, people who live like the Gentiles are living out of their emptiness. If we're acting like the unsaved, how can anybody tell us apart? How will they know you have something different? The ones without the life of God live in the darkness, full of impurity and greed. When you don't have the light, or may I say the word, in you, you end up living out of your mind. And that is a terrible way to live. Because how many of you know your mind can tell you all kind of things all day long? You're going to make a fool out of yourself. Them people are going to think you're stupid. They're going to hear you mispronounce that word, and they're going to think you're just some dumb little old hick girl. I mean, that's the things that I would listen to all day long when he first told me he was going to go on the road a lot more and I would be the pastor. I was like, I'm pretty sure you're missing it. Because just over and over and over, you hear those things in your mind and you think, God, how can you use me? I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. I can't sing. I can't play a piano. I mean, what else does a pastor's wife do, you know? But if we will allow, if we will listen to him and allow him to use us where we are, he can get glory out of it.
Amen.
Amen. Even if you just, if all you know is that John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I mean, that was one of my most favorite scriptures because I knew it so well. Because I was a Baptist growing up.
Amen.
And that was on the Romans Road. How many of you heard of the Romans Road? We learned that in probably junior high or elementary. They had the Romans Road, and you had to learn that to get up to the higher classes. But if you just learn that, you can make a ministry out of that. Because you can get people born again every day, all day long, by telling them that scripture. And that their life can be different. Amen?
Amen.
How many people you think you run across every day that wish their life could be different? Probably every person you run across. Your mind will tell you all sorts of things. How you feel and how you act will all depend on what's going through your mind. That's why it's so important for us to renew our mind with the Word of God. It's extremely important. Feelings will have you flying high one minute, and the next minute you'll be in the pit. You'll be crying one minute and you'll be laughing the next and not really knowing why. If we have the life of God on the inside of us, we are to live out of that life that he put on the inside of us.
Amen.
Only faith in God is how we should live. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Let's read Isaiah 55:8. I'm going to wait till she pulls it up so I don't have to. Ricky just got my Bible was falling apart, literally. All my pages were coming out, and the cover was messed up really bad. It was literally falling apart in my hand, and he got me this new cover on it, and the guy put all the pages, but it's so stiff now it's hard for me to find pages in it. So, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. He's letting us know in this scripture that there's a different way of thinking than we're used to. We don't have to take all those thoughts that we've had our whole life, all those things, and live out of that. There's his ways are higher, his thoughts are higher, and we're to come up to what his thoughts are. Amen? In verse 9, would you pull that up? For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There's not just a difference, there's a vast difference in the way we think and the way God thinks. Let's go ahead and read verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. When water comes down, it changes things, right? It has an effect on where it falls, the water does. I don't remember how many years ago it was when we came out here to the desert, and we were driving through, and there was just flowers blooming everywhere. And we were like, we have never seen this before. What has happened out here? Well, it was a spring that had a lot of rain. And they said that the seeds in the desert here had been there for years and years and years, but they had never been watered. So they had laid there dormant until that rain came. There's things in our lives that are dormant that the Word of God will be like water to if we will allow it. You know, there's things you've heard in your life that you may not particularly remember, but if you just allow the washing of the water by the Word to start coming in, watering those things that have been in there dormant. You may have heard a long time ago that God could heal. And now all of a sudden you're fighting this battle of this sickness. And you're not really thinking about that Word now. But you open up your Bible and you read a couple of scriptures and they're talking about healing. That is that water, watering those seeds. And the more that you water those seeds, the more faith you're going to have to be healed. The more you're going to have inside you to grow and to develop from. So it's just like that water on the desert. You know, things can lay dormant forever. But once it gets that water, something's going to happen. Amen? Allow that water to change. When water comes down, it changes things. It has an effect on where it falls. So let's go to verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So if you're needing healing, and you're listening to healing scriptures, where is that going to prosper you? In the area of healing in your body. If you need finances and you're reading something about how God wants to bless his people, that is the water being put on a seed. And where is it going to prosper? In finances. Amen? And let's read verse 13. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. God wants to have an effect in our life. Things that are planted deep inside of us, things that we may have just heard a little bit about a few years ago, he wants to put water on that. But the only way he's going to be able to do that is by us hearing or reading. Amen? Did you notice if it rains in town and you have a garden at your house, it don't benefit it? Right now, Pawnee County is kind of long, and for about 2 years, we had a drought there. But this spring, we have got more rain. It has just really, really been a good year for rain for Pawnee County, except for about this much of the tip of it. I was looking at the deal the other day, and just a little tip of the north side of Pawnee County is still in a drought. And you would think, you know, that's not that far from where I live. How is that? But the rain's not getting there. For some reason, the jet stream, or I don't know all of that weather stuff, but, you know, all that, how it goes like that across the mount, that's a jet stream. And it follows that pattern. Well, if the jet stream would just take a little more of a dip, that part of Pawnee would get watered too. But it would have to be in that area. See, if we go to church and we're not getting the word, we can't be held accountable for the word. But if the church is given the word and we're not at the church, we're not going to be in that jet stream that little area, it's not going to benefit us, is what I'm getting at. I mean, I know your preachers here. I think they would preach the word. They do. So you got to be at the house when the house is open in order to get the word, in order for it to benefit you. The jet streams don't always come down to you. You have to go where it's being watered.
Amen.
Amen. If only it only benefits where it's heard. And if you're not where it's being taught, it's not going to benefit you. It doesn't matter that you belong to the best church in town, the biggest church in town. If you're not there when the word is being taught, it's not going to benefit you. Not only does the rain produce what was needed and right, it also produced what was needed for the future. Amen? Because when the rain comes, the flowers bloom, and then they produce seeds again, and then the seeds drop, and what happens? It's a continual. That's the cycle that God wants for our lives. You know, he wants to pour out the rain on us and have us to flourish and then have us drop our seeds everywhere and then come and rain on it again and cause more. And just to have a perpetual, what did that scripture say? A perpetual victory parade. Well, perpetual means all the time. All the time. That's what he wants for our life. He don't want us to have a good day today, a bad day tomorrow, He wants us to have a perpetual life of health, a perpetual life of joy, a perpetual life of peace, strength. He wants us to have all those things all the time. And in order to do that, we have to live a life of listening, a life of being in the presence of God, a life of taking his word as the water for our lives. Amen?
Amen.
In verse 11, it says it will accomplish what it was sent to do. We can depend on the word of God being able to accomplish something in us, but we got to hear it first. Amen. And in verse 12, it says that we will go out with joy. Why will we go out with joy? Because we're listening to the word and we're living by the word. We're living in what he's told us, he's given us. And we have an expected end, right?
Yes,
and it is for peace and joy. It's not for tragedy or, you know, there are people that expect to live horrible lives. And they do. But if we expect to live a wonderful life in the peace and joy and comfort and strength of God, guess what? That's what we'll have. That's what we're expecting. We get what we expect. If you don't have joy going in that direction and going in a specific direction, don't go that way. You know, be led by your peace and your joy. You know, and I've heard people saying, we just need a car so bad, but I'm so afraid if I buy that car, I'm going to lose my job. Well, what you're expecting is what you're going to get. And if you need a car really, really bad, let the Lord lead you to the car you can afford, the car that won't put you in a bind, the car that... Even if you lost your job, you would still be able to keep your car. You know, who says you have to have a brand new one? We don't mind buying secondhand cars at all. We buy them all the time and enjoy them. Where we're led to buy something is where we go. And we always say, well, that's where my peace is. That's what I want. That's where we're going to operate in our peace. When you go from one place to another, there will be joy tied to it if it is in the spirit. Amen. If you're traveling in the Spirit, you want to follow the joy. Amen.
Amen.
Go out with joy and be led forth with peace. When we got born again, the fruit of the Spirit came into our human spirit. It didn't come into our mind. Amen. We're not talking about emotions. We're not talking about emotions. We're talking about being. What's the difference between fear and peace? If you don't know it, peace is just like you have this, huh. You know, you're not anxious. You're not fretful. You're not. And if you're being led with peace, you're like, oh, I want this car and I'm going to sign this, but, well, okay, I'm going to do it. You know, that is not peace. Follow your peace in what, whether you're buying a house, a car, whatever you're doing, amen, follow that peace. Go into a new job. Follow your peace.
Amen.
You know, I may have told this here before, but one time when Ricky was probably only about a year old, so we didn't have all our kids at that time, but we had Joy and Ricky. And we were living in Livingston, Texas. And we had just got in back in church, and we were doing really good. Ricky was driving a dozer for a pipeline. And my brother, who lived about 2 hours south of us, was a drilling rig foreman, driller. He was the driller on a rig. He did the hiring and firing. But anyway, he called me and he said, hey, I need some hands down here. If Ricky wants to come to work, I can give him a job. And I was like, okay, because the job he was making was, this is probably about $10 or $15 more an hour than what he was making at the time. And I thought, woohoo, that would be wonderful. That'd be great. So when he got home that evening, I told him, we loaded up our stuff. We packed enough stuff to go stay at my mom's so he could go down there. And we got about 30 minutes from the house. And inside of me, I just kept getting, lean not unto thine own understanding. Lean not unto thy own understanding. I mean, it was getting loud to me. And I told Ricky, I said, I just feel like we shouldn't do this. I don't think this is right. The Lord is telling me, lean not. Because it sounded wonderful. Way more money, twice as much money, you know. And I'd be beside my mom and dad and him working with my brother. It would be nice down there. So he said, okay, if you don't feel like it's right, we won't do it. So we go back to the house. And about 2 days later, the rig they was working on went down. And it was down for a month or so. So he would have quit his job where he was and went down there, worked a couple of days, and then got laid off for a month or two. So in that situation, my peace was not leaning to what I knew in my head because everything sounded good in my head. But it was following that peace in my heart, in my spirit man, that said, you don't know what you're getting into. Amen. So lean not unto your own understanding. Don't always listen to what sounds good. You know, because that really sounded good to us at that time. So if it comes in your mind, which is where the thinking about, yes, that sounds good, the money's good, we'll have a better life, that was all in my mind. So if it sounds good in your mind, that don't always mean it's necessarily good or right.
Yeah.
Don't follow your, lean not unto your own understanding.
Amen.
Faith is always joyful at the time of need or a time of opposition. Joy is at its greatest value when you have no reason to be joyful. Joy is at its greatest value when you have no reason to be joyful. That's when it's important to have joy. Money is at its greatest value when you don't need it. No, when you do need it. You know, you can have all the money in the world, but you you don't really, it's not necessary for you to buy anything or do anything, so it's not really valuable to you. But when you need it to provide a meal for your family, that's when it's valuable to you. Amen. Peace is at its greatest value when you have no reason to be living in peace. That's when it's valuable to us. Amen. When everything around us is falling apart, when everything looks bad, but we can sit back and say, but God.
Yeah.
Amen. But God, I know it's going to change things. I know something's going to happen. Joy and peace are at its greatest potential when there's no reason for it. If joy and peace are only for good times, what's their use? What's their point? What's the point of having it if it's only for good times? You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Don't commit until you know joy is in the journey. Don't commit to something till you know joy is in that journey. Amen. Once joy puts you in a place, you don't get bored and you don't get tripped up. Once joy puts you in a place, you don't get bored and you don't get tripped up. You know, like in a marriage, you're so joyful at the beginning, but day after day after day, it might not be as joyful as it was the day of the wedding. So what do you have to do? You have to choose joy and be led forth with joy. Be led forth with peace. Follow your peace. Fear will use pressure to get you to move. What will happen if you don't? Don't wait too long. You're going to miss out. All of those things are fear-based. And have you ever noticed that's what salespeople usually say when they're trying to pressure you into buying something? They'll start out by saying, well, you know, you can wait if you want to, but we may not have it then. That's a little fear for you to go ahead and jump on, whether you got peace about it or not, whether you go ahead and jump on. I don't know if it was popular around here, and it's probably been 10 years ago. Well, it was when Iraq was having all their difficulties. And their money, what did they call that? They started selling their money. Different people did. It was going to jump and make you a millionaire overnight is what it was going to do. Your father did. I know a lot of people that did. And what aggravated me the most about it is they were doing it to church people. And what they would say is, you can double your money overnight, and then you would be such a blessing to your church. They was using it. And then the next thing I know, people in church was staying home because they have these, it was video calls or some kind of call, and everybody had to be on there so they could update you on what was going on. And they was having them on Wednesday nights when where's everybody at church? Oh, they had a call, and this could be the night when all that money gets. I know people that have folders of that money now. It ain't worth nothing. Ain't worth nothing. But, and they would, right when it would just like start lulling a little bit, they would come up with something else. Well, we heard that the government is going in today, and this is what's going to happen in the next 24 hours, so we want y'all to stay alert, because when it's time to sell, this is what they'd say every time. When it's time to sell, you got to be one of the first to sell your money, or you'll miss out. And all them people still have all this money. Some friends bought some for us and gave it to us, and I still got it in a file at my house. But I decided a long time ago, I'm going to get rich the old-fashioned way. Tithes and offering. It's a sure thing every time. Tithes and offering is a sure thing every time. You can't miss out when you do it that way. But all of these get-rich schemes, how many, they used the power pyramid. How many of you ever been on one of them? I got sucked into one of them one time. Wasted a lot of money on that. And I said, okay, this ain't working for me. So when somebody calls me or says something to me about, I got this plan that can make you, I always tell them, I say, I do it the old-fashioned way, tithes and offerings. That's the way I get my money. God provides. But they get to where they'll bring up, well, you know, you just think how much of a blessing you could be to your church if you did this. So it's not actually putting a derogatory thing on it, making you feel bad that way, but they're making you feel bad if you don't do it and something does happen. But it's all fear-based. It's all fear-based. Fear will use pressure to get you to move. Well, what happened if you don't? Or what happened if you wait too long? Or this is going to happen, or that's going to happen, and you're going to miss out. No, I'm listening to this man right in here, and I'm not missing out on anything. Being anxious is not being full of peace. And if you get anxious just listening to somebody tell you about something, it ain't of God. Full of mental distress and uneasiness is not listening to the plan of God. People trying to get you to buy something you can't afford. Have you ever been to one of those places where they want you to buy into a timeshare? Yes. Oh my gosh, them people are relentless. Okay, we went on a vacation one time. We went down to Old Mexico, Cancun. And in order to get to go to this really nice resort, you just have to listen to 15 minutes of this sale pitch. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Because when they start talking to you, it lasts about an hour. And if you tell this person no, then they'll go get somebody else, and then they'll come in and talk to you for an hour. And then you tell them no, and they go get somebody else. They done made me mad. I said, guys, I ain't buying nothing. I just want the resort, okay? But do you know how many people signed up for them things? Because they kept pressuring them and pressuring them and pressuring them. And I was trying to resist. I did resist. We didn't sign up for none of that. But they did get me out of my love walk. Said, I am leaving this room right now, and you're going to give me tickets for that resort. But you got to know when you go in there, their job is to sign you up, and that's what they're going to do. Don't put yourselves in those positions. If you want a resort, go stay at a resort, go pay for it. Amen? We thought we was saving some money. All we got was heartburn and indigestion from being aggravated. Do you know you can have peace in your heart but fear in your mind? You got to learn to know which one to yield to, which one to follow. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That's what we're supposed to be led forth into peace with. Power, love, and a sound mind. Not fear, not anxiousness, nothing like that. The spirit of the Lord put on the inside of you is for power. It's not for allowing the devil to play all his little games. The word will not make you unsound. Fear tries to violate power, love, and a sound mind. And the word violate just means disregard. So fear tries to disregard your power, the power and love and a sound mind. In verse 12 in Isaiah, it says, you will be led forth with peace. Don't let fear take the lead in your life. Don't be afraid you're going to miss out on something. Don't be afraid you're going to not be where everybody else is or in the middle of something. Always be led by peace. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That's very important right there. In believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That in believing is faith. That's our faith. We're working our faith. We're using our faith because we're believing. That's the reason we're in peace. In believing, you will know you're in faith if you have joy and peace. Reverend Ricky read in Nehemiah 8:10 other night, the last part of it says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. That word joy means strength. And the word strength means power to resist force. And then the word power means the ability to act or produce an effect. So if we allow that joy to become strength in us, and then we use that strength to resist the force that the enemy is trying to use to get us into fear, and we use that power, it's the ability to act or produce an effect. What effect do you want in your life? You want peace. You want peace in your life. So allow that power to produce that effect in you by having joy in all things, in all situations, in all circumstances. Just make up your mind. I'm going to be joyful in this. I don't care if I look crazy. I'm going to be joyful in this. I don't care if it looks like the wrong thing. I'm going to be joyful in this. One more quick story. My brother Danny was having a open heart surgery, and there's eight of us kids, and of course all of us was there, and our spouses, and then there was, and we were in this waiting room where, like, we were on one side, and then there was this other family over here, and we were just normally talking, and you know, none of us was crying, and you know, we prayed, we believed it was going to be good, and so we were just talking and having a normal, we wasn't all tore up. Well, this other family over here was just, you know, they was all wailing and crying and hanging on each other and everything. I guess they had somebody that they were waiting for too, and so they called the nurses and told the nurses that we were bothering them because they were trying to grieve. Now the person ain't dead yet, they're having open heart surgery. They're trying to grieve over here, and we're just over here acting like nothing's wrong, and they're mad at us. That's the way the world thinks. That's the way the world thinks. You're supposed to be crying and moping, but if we prayed and believed, we should be in joy that what we asked is going to happen. And guess what? It did. He lived a long, long time after that. He didn't live right, but he lived because of the prayers of his siblings. So don't be confused with thinking that because something bad's happening, you need to be grieving or you need to be in a place or a position of turmoil. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. And bring you out every time to a good place. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory to God. Who feels like that washing of the water of the Word of God has just been poured over them?